Because I'm sure that, you know, whatever topic I mention, you will have something to say about it, and you will have something to talk about it, because you...
You think I'll have an opinion?
Exactly. Well, normally you don't, but maybe you might want to make an exception this time. Hello, I'm Michael.
I'm Radek.
And this is the podcast.
A sounding board for interesting ideas and insights. We discuss books to read and want to share with you,
as well as technology and productivity, which is what we do by day, working on our app, Nosby,
or whatever else comes to mind.
Yeah, and today I will, because it's fresh off my mind, I will talk my story of attending a conference in a very nice city in Poland.
Wait, you're not going to say happy birthday?
Yeah, right! It airs on your birthday. Happy birthday, man.
Thank you, even though it's not there yet.
Yeah, so anyway, I wanted to throw in some stupid joke about how young you are, but nothing comes to my mind. So, happy birthday, man. You're getting old-ish.
Yeah, thank you. You too. You're getting always mature. Getting older. All right.
Fuck you.
So you've been in the conference.
What?
You've been on the conference. I'm sorry, I'm just trying to get away from this.
All right, so, my dear young Radek, I was on a conference. Yes, I was on MobiConf in Krakow, and as per your suggestion and per your challenge, I went only with a backpack. It was a 4-day trip, so 2 days on the trip and 2 days mm-hmm. there. So I was traveling the whole Wednesday and arrived on Wednesday evening. And then I was there Thursday, Friday, and on Saturday morning, I was flying out and coming back home on Saturday evening, because I just had a very strange connection through Amsterdam and with a like 3-hour layover each time. So I spent lots of time in two airplanes each and on the airports, which was okay because I did a fantastic quarterly offsite. Lots of time for that, and also very good weekly review in the end. So yeah, it was actually pretty good time.
Yeah, good for you. I tried to do my quarterly offsite last week and the week before that. That didn't work. It's currently scheduled for 3rd of November, which is hardly quarterly, but that's what it is.
Oh man, so that's really quite late. Yeah, so yeah. I'm really happy that I managed to do it exactly on the, you know, brink of the quarters. So I think it's also one of the first times I did it so close to the date. So it's good.
Right. But I have so many questions to ask you about your backpack situation. This is like pretty much the first time you did something like this. Is that correct?
Yes, I used to always have this typical carry-on luggage. So so this is, and you challenged me to just take my backpack. And when I was on my sabbatical, I bought the Nomatic backpack for myself. And there are two versions of it. I bought the smaller version. So again, it's even more challenging because it's only when it completely expands, it's only 24 liters. So it's pretty small.
Yeah, it's not that big.
Yeah. But it works. I mean, first of all, the backpack as such brings me lots of joy. It's a really good backpack. I really like it. It's worth the, in my opinion, it's worth the $200 mark on the backpack. It's very well done, very very good quality. I love lots of organization there, lots of pockets, lots of places to put stuff. Really, really cool stuff. And the way that it expands to 24 liters from 20 liters, it's pretty useful. And now, so with the backpack overall, I love it. I love carrying it. It's very comfortable. But I managed to pack it for 4 days.
So I'm really proud of you, man. This is a big step. I remember reading, I think back in 2011, before we worked together, the old Productive, like the whole backlog of Productive magazine. And I remember you explaining to me the art of like minimalism and packing in carry-on luggage only, and I was really impressed and inspired by it, because I was reading that while bored on a trip abroad, and I had this big suitcase, right? So for me that was like new world to only have carry-on luggage, and ever since that, and maybe couple of missteps after that, but since at least 2013-14 for sure, I would never beg, I would never get a big suitcase with me anywhere. But then I realized, like, man, that ain't minimalism. Like, if you have this big thing that you have to carry with you all the time, and so you only have one hand that's available to do anything while you're moving from place to place, that's hardly minimalism. And being backpack only is the only true minimalist TM way. And it took me a while to figure out how to do it in a way that makes sense, that's actually bringing me more value in my life than taking away, because, like, you can't bring everything. But this, like, to me, this is about this convenience and this feeling of liberty, that all I need is, like, on my backpack, on the extension of my back, right? Like, it's like part of my body, essentially. And I don't have any space taken away by something I have to lug around. It's just on me. And it's just so simple how you can so effortlessly move through airports, through trains, from place A to place B in cities, going, you know, make complicated trips between cities. And all you have is on your bag. And that makes just things so much simpler and so much less stress, and just really gives this sense of freedom, that you don't have this suitcase that's handcuffed to your hand and you're bound by it. So did you get that experience? Do you now feel what I feel, or is it more like, it's kind of cool?
Well, I'm not there yet. Okay, it's kind of cool. And what I really liked, and especially because I was flying with two different airlines, I mean, they're technically, you know, friendly airlines, but still there were two different airlines. What I liked, that nobody was questioning if I couldn't take it with me. Know, they would, with people with you know, rolling carry-on luggages, there was, like, they would put the stickers, they would tell them, you know, that we cannot accept anymore or whatever. I was at the end of the line, and I was just comfortably breezing through, because they saw that there is this guy only with the backpack. So really, there is, you know, and this backpack can be really put also under the seat if you really try it.
Oh yeah, I always do that, because then there's no way I forget it. I don't have to fight over space with other people. And like you said, you can, like, airport experience is so much more chill, because you can just sit in the waiting area until there's no line, right? Exactly. Where there's, like, a couple of last people. And you walk inside the plane as the last guy, and it's fine. Like, they won't tell you, oh, we have to take it away and you have to retrieve it from the luggage, you know, carousel. No, nothing like that.
It's actually a very useful pro tip that you just said there, because standing in the line is useless. I mean, yes. It's wasted time. I mean, okay, you can listen to an audiobook or podcast while you're there, but I don't like it. I like being at the gate, having a nice place, and just working. And then people stay in the line. They start checking in, you know, getting in. And I just wait and then just do my stuff. And then when I see it's last call, I'm like, okay, it's time for me now. So I just get in.
Isn't this just funny? Like, I never understood that, how the line will form like half an hour before boarding even starts. Yes. And then the boarding lasts for like 15, 20 minutes. So like people are standing for more than half an hour, and like, what, like, why? Like,
yeah,
okay, sure. Like, if you really hate having to retrieve your carry-on suitcase from the carousel, then if you're flying with Ryanair or something like that, then you might want to be somewhat front of the line, but like, come on, like, why? Why are you doing this to yourself?
Yeah, in Ryanair, actually, whenever I fly with Ryanair, I actually do buy priority to enter, and I do it because then I can enter anytime, because priority has a different line, so I don't have to, like, I can just enter whenever I feel like entering, you know, so it's even better. But with some airlines, I just don't know how to do it, so I just stay until the very end, and that's it, and it's very easy, because anyway, my seat is taken. I mean, I have a marked seat, so nobody will take my seat. So it's fine.
Yeah. It's also, I think, funny how when the plane lands and everybody is already standing up, even though they ain't moving anywhere for the next 15 minutes. And like, well, I'm just sitting down with my iPad, chilling, doing something on it when everybody in front of me has disappeared. And they're just like, stand up, walk out, and that's it. Like people are just manufacturing so much little stress and this complexity in travel. It just doesn't have to be there.
Yeah, completely. So that was really easy. So really moving on in the airport. And another thing that by accident I got from my bank actually was this priority pass, which is this thing that lets you get into the lounges of the airport. So normally it costs money. They just offered me a credit card, which comes as a perk that I can access some of the priority of these, you know, lounges on the airport.
Okay.
And the thing about these lounges, normally people who have business class, who fly business class, go there, and they are eligible for that. But this was another good thing that I had for this trip, because I had like 3 hours in Amsterdam. So I would just go to the lounge, and the lounge is always situated in a place where it feels like you're not in the airport anymore. It's not, you know, there is nobody rushing. There is just quiet, and there is some there is, you know, beer, there is water, there is some food, like there is coffee. So you just sit down, relax, and it's completely quiet, and you just work there. So it was also very, very useful. So I was lucky that I had that card, and it proved pretty useful.
Right. Tell me more about the backpack. How did you survive with just the backpack for 4 days?
Yeah, so I'm not Nomadic is not a sponsor of this. I'm just excited about the backpack. And Nomadic also sells this additional pouch. So anyway, the key, as you know, to good packing are pouches.
Yes.
This is the key. One word, pouches.
Yeah, repeat after me.
Exactly. So they sell this very cool pouch where you could put, you know, clothes. And then they have this pouch. When you fill it out up completely from both sides, it's two-sided, then there is additional zip that like compresses it even more. So so first of all, you put all the stuff there, and then with this additional zip, so you close it with zips, and then with additional zip, you just compress it even more. And this pouch is freaking amazing. I mean, I put all of my, you know, underpants, t-shirts, running gear, like everything in there. Compressed it and put it in the backpack. Also, as I mentioned, my backpack expands. So normally my backpack is pretty thin, but it expands. So this is really useful. So I put the expansion mode on for that. Then I put this pouch with most of my stuff in the very bottom of the backpack. And again, the backpack opens completely. So I can always, you know, get to the pouch very easily. It's not a backpack that you have to just attack from the top. You can open the backpack completely, which is very useful. So I open the backpack completely. I put the stuff there. I put, I have all my toiletries in one, transparent pouch, and I have them ready as you advised. I have everything there. I don't have to think about it. It's all there, you know, the toothpaste, the toothbrush, all of it. So I have the toiletries there. And then I reviewed all my pockets to just put only the gadgets that I would actually need there. And I removed the gadgets that I don't need and put them aside in one drawer. So this way I had only the gadgets that I needed. Then I put additional stuff. And the best part is that also my backpack has this special compartment for laptops. Which in my case is, you know, just a compartment for my iPad Pro, because that's all I need. So the cool thing about the backpack was that, first of all, everything fit in there and I still had space. So I had still room for more stuff, but I just didn't need more stuff. So I had room for more stuff. I didn't take spare shoes, because I don't need any shoes.
That's ridiculous. Like, you're not going to get spare shoes in the backpack.
No. So second, I didn't take spare trousers because, as you know, I have this fantastic, you know, expensive trousers, which from Outlier, New York City, and they are just
magical
beer, coffee, water, whatever, resistant, fantastic. So I was wearing them on myself. And the only problem I had, the only drawback, was the freaking jacket. Because I need the jacket, because it's, you know, it's cold there sometimes. But of course, on the air, in the airport, it wasn't really cold, so I wouldn't wear it. So I had to really slap the jacket with me, which was kind of annoying, you know? And I didn't have enough space in the backpack to just put the jacket there, because the jacket was occupied lots of space anyway. So so that was the only problem, that I didn't have like a place for the jacket. So
yeah, that comes up when you have like big differences in temperature.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that. Like, for me, that's not a big deal. Like, I can just, you know, wear the jacket across my waist if it's if it's too warm. It's not perfect, but it's still like so much better than have to drag around a suitcase. I can also I also have like in my backpack this tiny hook. This like carabiner.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if that's how you say it in English, but I can hook a jacket like behind my backpack, which looks funny, but that also works.
That's actually a good idea.
Yeah,
it's actually a good idea. So anyway, it was really nice. I can be walking with the backpack, and the backpack stands on its own, which is really good.
Oh yeah, it's much more stiff than my own.
Exactly. So it was very useful, because whenever I would just put it down, it would just stay there. You know, I didn't have to lean it against the wall, against something else. Like, I would just put it down, you know, do something and take it up. So so that was really useful. And also the handles. I like the handles of the backpack, really strong. So I didn't have to worry, you know, of to hold them. So anyway, the backpack worked. And now the best part. As I told you, I can open the backpack almost entirely. Thanks to the zippers, I mean, the way the zips are done, I can open it almost entirely just to, you know, to have access to everything in the backpack. But then when I'm breezing through security, I just open it from the top. And with you know, two movements, I take out the toiletries and the iPad.
Yeah.
So then I cross the security. And after that, I just put the toiletries back, put the iPad back, close, and all effortless, and then close the backpack, and I'm done. It's so easy, you know. When you have a carry-on, you usually have to open the whole carry-on to be able to take out stuff, and this way you don't have to do that. I just, you know, there is a small opening. It's enough to take out these two things, because these are the only things that they really require. All of my cables are spread across the backpack, and nobody complained until this moment. So so really going through security with that, also very easy.
Yeah, a tiny bit more complicated for me. Like, first of all, it's the zippers are not organized such that I can do it in like literally like three movements, including opening a zipper. Uh-huh. Also, when traveling, I generally have a MacBook, which is in a case, and I have to like unzip the case and take out the MacBook, because if I put the whole case, half of the time they complain.
Yes.
And the iPad, and then like second zipper and the toiletries. And unfortunately, like, I couldn't find a pouch which was both transparent and made out of fabric-like material. I don't want to put the toiletries in a plastic pouch, because it doesn't breathe. And you always, like when using them, like, you use them in a bathroom, so there's always water and moisture. You put away the toothbrush, and if it's like all made out of plastic and not like woven plastic, then it will get nasty over time.
Okay.
But it's not transparent, so most of the time it's fine, but like 1 in 4 times they complain and ask me to repackage it in a plastic bag and like put it through the detector again. I'm not sure why, but they care about that stuff, apparently. But I also realized that I didn't always remember to take out the pouch with all the cables and battery and whatever, and no one ever complained. So I can. But my point is that if you, like people in security line can be annoying to pros because like they take so much time to unpack and repack their stuff. And if you organize this stuff like neatly and you just have your backpack, then it really it's much more quick. It's like really quick to unpack for security and then repack.
Exactly. And also my experience, if you don't put all the cables in the same place, like it's a good way to go. It makes sense logically, but mm-hmm. it's better not to. Like, for example, I have a small pouch with the most important cables, and then I have other cables in different places in my backpack. All of them have their own place, you know, because I have this backpack is so amazing, has so many, you know, these places to put the things. This way, they don't complain, because when I had a big yeah. pouch with lots of cables, then they would ask me very many times to just take it out and, you know, put it there. But if I have the small pouch with cables and other cables spread all over the backpack, they don't complain anymore, because they're just small items and nobody...
Yeah, you might be right. Unfortunately, my backpack doesn't have that many... it doesn't really have organizing spaces the same mm-hmm. way yours does, so it wouldn't be very easy to spread it around, because I just need more sort of loose pouches.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'd have to buy more accessories, because some of those stuff, like the power bank, I occasionally need on its own. So, like, I have a pouch that I can just take mm-hmm. and not the whole backpack. But yeah, that's a good tip if you can manage that.
And also, my backpack has two pockets, like the small one and the big one. And in the small one, it's also very neatly organized, but it's big enough that I could actually put my iPad there. I don't do it, but what I do put there is my backpack, my iPad bag. So, you know, I have a bag within a bag. I have a small iPad bag that I carry with me. This way, when I'm on the conference, I don't carry my backpack anymore. I carry my iPad only in this small iPad bag.
That's really good. Yeah. All right, let's cut it here. I have a lot more questions, but next week we'll do something interesting related to this. So I don't want to, like, remove all topics for next week.
You're right. So exactly. Next week we have this special episode where we'll dig deeper into this.
All right. So tell me about your conference. How was the experience? You spoke at MobiConf, correct?
Yes, MobiConf. It's a mobile conference. I think it's primarily made at the target is developers, mobile developers. There is like an Android track, iOS track, everything mobile track, so like a more general track, and also UX, UI design track.
Mm-hmm.
So the conference as such is very well organized. I have to say that kudos to the organization team. They you can see that it was fifth edition, and they just know how to do a good conference. Like they just know their stuff. Practically there was nothing to complain about. I mean, they knew exactly. I mean, the whole experience of showing up, logistics, everything was done very nicely for the speakers. Also, like, they had a hotel for us, they paid for the transportation, and really they covered all the bases. So it was a very nice conference. They also gave lots of goodies in the bag. I mean, the swag as well, which I gave to Staszek, our developer from Krakow. And then so this part was really good. What my personal experience is that I really don't think I'm gonna speak much more at the multi-track events, you know, because I don't really like that much, because of course I understand the difference. I mean, iOS track, Android track, you know, I understand that. But here there were four tracks for roughly 600 people, and of course not everybody was there out of the people who got the tickets. So so you could see that, you know, people were spreading around, and there were also people just talking outside, so not going to any talks. So you as a speaker, you speak to, I don't know, 30, 40, maybe 50 people at a time. Like, if you are a very popular speaker, you speak to more people at a time. But
so there were 600 people in total?
Yeah.
And you're saying maybe 60 people at your talk?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's disappointing.
Exactly. And especially, I think in my case, it was one of the later talks in the second day. So maybe some people just already left before. And yeah. Also, just right, I mean, the talks in the same time were talks by people I really know, I really like, and I wanted to actually see their talks, but I couldn't because I was speaking at the same time. But also they were popular speakers, so I think they also attracted a nice crowd as well. So in the end, it just would spread. The good thing was that they were recording everything, so the recording will be there, and hopefully the recording in English will serve many more people than the 60 that were in the audience. So it wasn't all, you know, all wasted. But that's the thing. If I'm going, I'm doing the effort to actually go to a conference, which is for me like a logistical, you know, challenge, and mm-hmm. I'm going to be staying away from my family and staying away from work, then I should really just be more mindful about, you know, these conferences, and also choose ones with just one track that, you know, people will actually listen to me when I'm there. So, but it's my personal opinion.
There are people who really go to speak on a lot of conferences, mostly for fun, I guess, or maybe mm-hmm. they're building some sort of personal brand. At least on developers conferences, like generally no one pays speakers ever. Mm-hmm. So you really do it because it's fun, or you might get some like side benefit from it. But you know, for you, that's there's part of that. It is fun. There is side benefits in terms of like Nosby marketing and stuff that you talk about, like experiences from running a company like this. And some people might be interested, and some people, you know, might spread the word, and some of them might, you know, end up buying Nosby. So there is some long chain of events that might be beneficial for you, but it's a very sort of secondary thing. Like it's mostly still like because it's fun. So if it's not a lot of fun, or if it's not a great benefit, it's probably not worth spending all the time and the effort to that you could put into your best work.
Exactly. It was fun because I met also with a few friends. We had some nice dinners. I met new speakers, which I wouldn't normally meet. So yeah, as you said, for me, I just need to be really really picky about this. Because as you said, I'm not a professional speaker. I don't make any money out of it. I don't I'm not trying to build such a personal brand right now. I want to work for Nosby right now. But the good thing was that I did spread some a message about No Office and about the way we work, and it's going to be recorded. So I think the recording will be pretty useful for many people. So so overall, I'm really happy. But I just what I'm saying, you know, it's not like I'm saying this against this conference or whatever. I'm just saying that for me personally, I have to just make sure that I'm more picky about where I'm going to show up next time.
All right. What was your talk about exactly?
So it was like a next step from the talk that I had at the InfoShare conference. We're going to link in the show notes. It was, again, about us, about the way we work. And I was trying to talk about our pyramid of communication, but in a way of not calling it pyramid in the very beginning.
Link in the show notes to the episode where you were just before another conference and we're discussing how to explain this topic as to make people interested and not disinterested.
Exactly. So the excuse was to explain which apps we use to get stuff done, and especially which apps we use as mobile people, as nomads. So that was the excuse. And it was a good excuse because this way I could target my talk not only at managers or remote workers, but also at mobile developers, to just show them what we do care about in the apps and what we don't care about, like which apps are for us useful and which aren't. And again, for us, this is the whole, you know, like the whole curse of knowledge. Like I was talking about these apps and I was thinking, you know, this is so obvious, like everybody should, you know, I'm sure knows about these apps, so like this is useless. But of course not. Like people very often they don't see that it's actually possible to run a company from an iPad, you know, and then use really apps to get all this stuff done. It just the basic example is Zoom, is the platform that we use here to record this podcast, and also to do webinars, and also to do our video conferencing on all of our meetings. People still are stuck in Skype and are complaining and cursing, and I got lots of questions about that and about, you know, how like what to use for video conferencing because Skype is rubbish. So I talked about our apps. I talked about so I called this you know, this concept that we have, this path to communication and productivity. So the deep work, the feedback loops, the back and forth, the face to face, and the meetings. And then I talked about the apps that I use. So the apps that I use on the iPad for deep work, and explaining why iPad is such a nice focused place. You know, the one app at a time or split view, like how focused it is and how helpful it is to get stuff done. And I also explained that I did most of my presentation on the iPad in the keynote. And then I talked about the apps for comments that you can do actually GitHub on the iPad, and you can use GitHub. And then I gave this example of you and Leon doing this thing when you were on a walk in Ustroń, and you decided to add a feature to Nozbe, and you would just code it on the mobile phone, do the code review on the phone, ship it, create and build a build from the mobile phone, and download the build and check if it worked. So
yeah, on both iOS and Android, I had the iPhone, he had an Android phone.
Exactly. So I didn't know about this story. Rafa told me about this story, and it was a perfect story for really? my presentation. You know, two guys on the mobile phones, like from an idea to code review to actually building a build and just downloading it and making sure it worked. Like, wow. So I tried to tell people, like, this is 2018. Things can get really done on the mobile phone and on an iPad. So my iPad was like, again, my iPad only, and iPad was like, again, another excuse to just show mobile apps in action. So that was basically my presentation. So and then, you know, the meetings, I was also giving the cool thing about the meetings, you know, who wants more meetings and stuff, and then explaining how meetings have to be done, that we have to set the agenda. I even showed our calendar on as a slide, showing that this is our calendar. All the meetings here are regular meetings that we have in Nozbe, and all of them are optional.
Yeah.
And I told them that this is the key, that even if you have scheduled regular meetings, they're optional. Like, you can always say no to a meeting because there is no agenda, nothing is prepared, we have nothing to discuss, there is no meeting, that's it. So I think this was also kind of an eye-opener for people. And of course, my favorite slogan, work is not the place to go, it's a thing that you do. So it was, as always, mind-blowing for people. So that was good.
Yeah, I think it's worth, like, one thing I would I haven't seen this talk yet, but one thing I would try to do in your future talks, if you talk about this kind of thing, I think this phrase is good, but when you speak it like that, it feels like a slogan, and people, you know, people have a filter for that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Like, they don't want to hear advertisement and like people who have their system because they're building their brand and whatever. But when you like. If you just spoke it as a sentence more than once, a couple of times, you have to repeat this. But if you just spoke in a few points of the presentation that, you know, blah, 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 blah. But you have to remember, work is not the place you go. It's just a thing you do, right? So blah, 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 blah. And because like it bears repeating, but like you don't want to fall into people's like slogan right. filter.
Okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. To like mix it put it more into a straightforward thingy that like it just mix it in a sentence, just yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, you gotta talk to Hubert about making yourself a slides template. your slides are not pretty. They're not great.
All right. I don't necessarily agree with you, but I take it as a feedback, so I'll go to Hubert and talk to him about it. Yeah. They gave us also a template for slides, and some speakers were using it, but come on, Font 28 it's just too small. Like, really, they and speakers used it. And so I thought, you know, 28 might be good because the screen was great, because it was in the cinema. Again, cinema is actually a very nice place to do a conference because it's very comfortable to seat. And then the screen is just freaking big. So you can really see the slides clearly. But even then, if it's a small font, it's just still a small font. I mean, I can read stuff perfectly. I have good eyesight.
It's just not a good style of presentation. No one wants to read text. Like, why would you make a presentation and then put your entire master's thesis on it? Like, if you want to read text, you'll go read text online. Like, why would you make a talk like this, right? You go to talks because you want to feel the emotion of the speaker. You want to hear ideas, hear them explained. And these slides, they're just keywords. They're just like small keywords and memes and photos and emojis. Like, that's all you need. Like, you can't really both really listen to the speaker and read the text. Some of the time, which is the same as what someone is speaking. So why are you speaking? Or it's completely different, in which case, like, I can't process two streams of text at the same time. I'm sorry, right? So either I read it and not listen to your ideas, or I'll listen to your ideas and just ignore your wall of text. Like, please stop doing presentations like this.
Exactly. So so I took a few things from this template. I mean, a few nice images that they were proposing to use to be like in the theme of this conference. Mm-hmm. But then I wouldn't use any of the, you know, of the text-based templates, because they were just too small and they would require me to put too much text on the slide, which I refuse to do. So this is not a good style. So again, they should think about this, about if you're doing a template for people to use at a conference, you should think how you want them to present stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Because really, some of the presenters really used it and they put lots of text there. I think they didn't even think about it, you know, that they shouldn't have done that. So I used a little bit of that. And another thing was networking on the conference, which was really nice. Ah, fame.
Okay. What?
So, fame. I mean, you know, we work from home. I don't get to talk to people on the street. People on the street don't recognize me. I'm not a famous person, so it's fine. But when I'm on the conference, I always get blown away that, you know, some people use Nosby, really. so like, I would come up to somebody, and there was one speaker speaking about machine learning, and he had a very good talk, and I wanted to ask him some questions, and I was like, yeah, so I'm Michael, I run Nosby, and like, yeah, I'm a user, I know. I was like, okay. And then there was this Danish guy. He was doing a presentation on an iPhone, and a fantastic presentation. Nice. He did a presentation app, because then he could like embed the things that he was presenting. He was doing about there were APIs for depth APIs for graphics and photos. Fantastic presentation, very cool. And I talked to him because I needed his dongle, because I forgot mine. I left it in the hotel, my, you know, HDMI Lightning dongle. And I asked him for it. And I was like, yeah, could you borrow me the dongle later? And he was like, yeah, no problem. And I'm like, so I'm Michael from Nosby. I know Nosby, no problem.
Nice.
All right. So, you know, these moments are like, you know, I'm still kind of amazed and kind of, you know, nicely rubbed when I hear that, you know, they know my app. Some of them use our app. So it's like, I don't even have to sometimes not introduce myself or introduce myself. And they're like, yeah, I know Nosby. So it's nice. It's cool.
That's really interesting, especially that you say that this conference mostly gathers software developers, because I barely meet people in conferences where I try to explain what I'm working on, and I got that reaction like maybe a couple of times. I definitely experienced that, but like, it's very rare that someone knows what Nosby is in on those conferences where I go to, at least. Unless someone I'm already like friends with, then sure they'll know. But yeah, that's rare. So I'm really pleased to hear that you said two people who are also speakers and already were like, yeah, I know.
That was so cool, you know. Also the thing with speakers, so they have a very, they had a very good speaker page, very good one, so you could really, you know, learn more about the speakers. And just in the morning when I was going to get some breakfast, I saw a girl that was also alone eating breakfast. So I was like, and she didn't like look Polish. So I was like, she must be a speaker. So I checked the speaker page. Oh yeah, she's a speaker. So I just went up to her. Hi, my name is Michael. You're a speaker as well. Yeah, right? Okay. So, and that was it. And then when I did that, then somebody else joined us because they saw that we are speakers. So like, it, you know.
Oh yeah, that happens all the time.
Yeah, but you know, we would have eaten all of us alone. And then just by coming up to one person, then another person joins, and then suddenly, you know, we are a bunch of speakers joining, you know, eating together and then getting to know each other. So it was, so anyway, it was good to do the first move, you know, to just say, hi, I recognize you from the speaker page, which like I just had to check the photo and I'm like, okay, this person is a speaker. So so it was good.
Right, yeah, I definitely agree. I do that all the time. And I actually have some thoughts about how to conference. And this is the most important point. Talk to people, like really on, you know, software developer conferences. The rooms are mostly filled with people who are many of them kind of shy and introverted and not really happy to or comfortable starting a conversation. But many of those you'll have the best conversations with. But you have to be the one. Initiating the conversation. So really, even though I'm one of those shy, introverted people, definitely not comfortable starting a conversation with strangers, somehow like I taught myself that when I'm on a conference, I'm in conference mode, and I just like break all of the, you know, my emotional barriers, and I just like walk right into people and start chatting with them. And like, I mean, at least as far as software developer conferences are concerned, what is sold are the presentations and the speakers, mm-hmm. the talks. But I mean, that's mostly useless, to be honest. I mean, so like there's usually a couple of talks which are extremely good and just try to explain ideas and are very powerful and I love them. And most talks, they're not bad talks. They're fine. It's just I'm not really interested in talks because, like, I can always look them up online. You know, yeah. like don't go to conferences and just sit through all the presentations. Like, it's just a waste of time and money. You can find information oftentimes much more efficiently. Well, that's a personal preference thing. But as far as I'm concerned, if I want answers to technical questions, finding it in text form is so much easier. And even if I want to watch a presentation, I can do this in my own time, you know, free time, for free at home. Like, don't go to conferences and just do that. That's truly, truly wasteful. And for most conferences, there are some conferences where that's not true, like WWDC, where you have the labs and you get to talk to Apple engineers. But on most conferences, you have that and you have the people. So like really, even though, well, especially if you don't feel comfortable just talking to random people you don't know, especially if you're that kind of person, do that. Like, talk to people, meet people, make contacts, spend time with them, have fun. Like, usually people on conferences go in the evening to have some fun together, and really, really do that. For presentations, you know, don't feel compelled to be on all of them. If something sounds interesting, go listen. It might be a great presentation. For most presentations, all that matters is exposure. Like, a presentation might be interesting because you get exposed to a technical idea or some other idea that you don't know about, and then you have it in your mind that it's something that exists, but you don't have to pay 100% attention because you can always look up the details online, but you have to. So it's mostly useful that you know that a thing exists and is useful. But don't feel compelled to be on all of them. Oftentimes what I see happening on conferences is there's an interesting conversation in the hallway with some people and a talk starts. And the talk is, I'm not that interested in it. Then just don't go. Like, continue the conversation. The talks are optional. The talks you can find online. But talk to people. And especially, like, I feel like what you said about noticing a speaker and going to talk to her, like especially I recommend talking to the speakers, because why are they speakers? Usually it's because they have the most experience in their subject, they are most thoughtful, they're most happy to have a conversation, to talk about interesting stuff. Like, that's why they're speakers. So, you know, oftentimes on conferences, the audience is very mixed. Some of them, and I'm talking about this from the perspective of developers' conferences, but some of them are really experienced and might have a lot of interesting stuff to talk about. But unless you know them from the internet, like, you won't see that on their face whether or not they're experienced. Like, there's no way you can identify them, but you can identify the speakers, and you know they're going to be experienced and have a lot of great conversations to be had with them. And also, if you can, be a speaker. Being a speaker on a conference is the best. It takes a lot of effort because you have to prepare a talk, and like, you and I are kind of proud of our work, so we won't make a bad talk. Like, if exactly. We're doing a talk, it takes time to prepare. But the great thing about being on a conference as a speaker is that not only is it people will come up to you. Like, this is the exact reverse. It's much easier to meet people and have great conversations and learn a ton by talking to other people, because while people can't identify each other whether or not like he or she is experienced and have a lot to talk about, or if this is just you know, a newbie that you know, I really won't have that much to talk about aside from small talk. But if you're the speaker, people come up to you, and that's really fun. And I want to double down on what you said. Oftentimes you see like groups of people having great conversations, and you can join them, and you can see groups of people who you can see that like, they're part of an in-group, like a delegation of three people coming from the same company, that if you try to talk to them, sometimes it's going to be great, but sometimes they're just like, they don't really want to talk to you. They just want to be left alone in the group. But oftentimes you can see people being alone because they don't feel comfortable starting a conversation. And oftentimes those are the people who have like the best conversations.
Yes, completely. And, you know, when we were standing in front of the coffee thing, again, when you're standing in line for the coffee thing, talk to a person in front of you or behind you. Like, you know, just turn around. Like, it's so easy, you know, and just tell, you know, I'm going to get this coffee or whatever. Like, just start the conversation with coffee. And then, you know, suddenly you're having a nice chat. So it was pretty easy.
Yeah, and you're not in the line for the plane. You can talk to people.
Exactly. That's a good point.
People won't look at you the wrong way if you start a conversation with them. Even if you start with small talk, because you don't know how to start a conversation, but yeah.
And you have great greetings from John Sandel.
Oh yeah, hi John.
Yeah. So he's listening to us sometimes.
Oh yeah, that's nice. That's hi John.
And of course our fellow Bocemunye guys, Christoph and Rafał, they were very, very cool. And they were with me all the time there. So it was very, very nice to meet them.
Nice.
Yeah. So basically, as you said, being a speaker on a conference is good. And I had really lots of good discussions. So just the one thing that I said about me be presenting. But apart from that, also it's good for me to get out of my comfort zone and go to conferences just to, you know, mix with people and get to know new people. So I did just that. I met really quite a few new people, so that was good.
Yeah, and I'm very happy about you starting to get converted into the next level of the cult of minimalism, the backpack-only lifestyle. I'm really proud of you.
Backpack only, baby.